What's up, everybody?
Welcome. It is Wednesday. I'm trying to figure out what day it is. It's Wednesday, and it's Sith Council, and I have been so happy with everything you guys have been asking. There's so many great questions, and we did it last week. And the week before, we did some Q&As, and we're going to be doing those. I think we do those up until the lead up, until we get to Obi-Wan, because, to be honest, you guys have better questions right now than the stories are out there. There's not a lot of cover inside of the news, and I don't want to. I did that in the past with just covering everything that's out there, and there's tons of great Star Wars outlets and podcasts that do that. I'd rather just talk about what you guys want to talk about. So we got a lot of great questions, and honestly, I think there's better conversation this way. But we're going to be doing that today. A lot of great questions, whether it's about Knights of the Republic or Obi-Wan or upcoming series of some. I think I saw some Acolyte questions in there, Ahsoka questions, some great stuff. So I'm excited about that. And if you haven't already, please subscribe if you're new to the channel. It is so important for all you guys here, too. You can check, by the way, in analytics of how many people are actually hitting notifications and how many people are when they're subscribed, want to know when we have a new Jedi Council. So please hit that notification button. I don't put a lot of YouTube videos up on this channel, so I don't try to bombard your feeds with it. So there's about, I'm going to try to do at least one a day. Right now there's about, I don't know, 3 to 4 a week, but there should be a little bit more. But again, not enough to bombard the feed. So please hit that notification button. And there's going to be some new shirts. There might be shirts up there now on the Skybound store. You might want to check it out, but there will be some more. But all right, let's get into it. It's a shorter show for this pre-tape one, but it's still nonetheless going to be a good one. It is the Sith Council. You know who I am. I know who you are. Let's do it. Let's get to it. All right. So tired of this.
Anger. Oh. It gives you focus.
There it is.
Makes you stronger.
Cheers. One of these days. So this is another reason, by the way, that I have to tell you guys this. Tell all your friends about this show, will you? And get as many people to subscribe to this show as you can. And comment and like, so I don't have to keep doing stuff like this and keep this. I just have an engineer that can do it for me. But until then, you got to deal with me and my nonsense. But it is what it is. All right. Let's get to it, man. There's a lot of stuff that you guys asked, some great questions, and I'm excited to get into it. There's a bunch. Let's start with the first one. And that's going to be from Martin Butts Bueller. Butler. Martin Butts Butler. Martin Butts Butler. If you had to choose between a Plagueis series or a Knights of Old Republic, what are you taking? That's tough. That's a tough one. Knights of Old Republic or a Plagueis series? I'm probably going to say Knights of Old Republic because I just think there's so much potential on where that could go, and I think you could get more out of it. Because you could set up, I think even if you set up the Darth Revan and Malak story and set up that entire first story of Knights of the Republic that eventually led into the story of Knights of the Republic 2, which then just sets into motion the Old Republic that could eventually, I always feel like the Old Republic could be treated like Rome, how Rome was for HBO, but with more seasons, you can actually expand it, and then you could start to see, like, I would love to go however many years they set it prior, you know, and I think in the games it was like 3,000 years or something, I think. But even, let's even say it's 2,000 years, or hell, 1,500 years. You start out with the Revan and Malak stuff, and then you start to play into that for a while, 3-4 seasons, and then you get into the next season, and it's years later when the Sith are still a dominant army, and then eventually you start to tell the story of how Darth Bane came up through the ranks and then eventually turning it to the rule of two. I think that you could tell the coherent story of that scene of Darth Maul and Palpatine talking about alas, we can reveal ourselves. And I think that if you told enough backstory, and you could do this over the course of like 10 years or even more, you know, but I think Knights of the Republic sets you up for that. Plagueis is a one-off miniseries that would be phenomenal, but I don't think it should be any longer than that. I think you just adapt the Lucino novel. You make it 6 to 8 episodes. You adapt that novel, and that's all you need. You don't need any more than that. But I would take Knights of the Republic because I just think there's more. I just think that there's more there in the long run. So, all right. Thank you for that question, Martin. I appreciate it. All right, next question. Chris Morris. Would you like to see a live-action Kallus appear in the Andor series? By the way, I'm pumped for this series. What's not to like? Spies, espionage, infiltration, pew, pew, pew. I know a lot of people are saying they didn't ask for it, but I appreciate Lucasfilm taking the risk with a big bunch of episodes. I happen to agree with you, Chris, for a lot of things here. First of all, let's start with your first question here is, do we think live-action Kallus is appearing? I would go so far to say 95% that he will show up in this show. 95%. Yeah, they're definitely going to use it. They have shown that they're not going to shy away from characters that have appeared in Rebels and especially in this time period. Why wouldn't you? It's to people who don't know who he is, you introduce a new character. For people who do know who he is, they're going to be like, oh, look at it, it's Kallus. And I think it's a great time to use him, and I would guarantee it. I think that it's definitely going to happen. Now, as far as the other stuff that you're saying, it's not a series. It's out of all the series, my headphones are really pain in the ass right now. Out of all the series that were announced, I was like, okay, Andor? I mean, it's been announced for a long time. We kind of know what happens to him and all that. But then you start to realize that it could be pretty intriguing for everything that you're saying, like the espionage. But I do want to see that side of the Empire. I hope they don't just stay on the Rebels. And I can't imagine that they will. But having a political Star Wars show that deals with the building of the rebellion and how that side starts to come up and get more powerful and to see the power of the Empire at that time. But diving into that per se, I think would be it's very interesting. And I think that that's like as we're getting some other stuff inside, we're getting Obi-Wan, we're getting this, I think a lot of stuff in the High Republic where you're going to see more of the Force and the Sabers. Although that's the stuff that I like the best, is the dark side and the light side, and a lot of people do. And I do think that in the new trilogy, there was a lack of sabers and the lack of the Force. And I know when you dive, how can you say it's a lack of the Force, right? And I just always was, and again, I know it's an expectation, but I was always kind of hoping that since they rehashed Luke's adventure in the second movie, and I was kind of hoping because of Luke's adventure that you were going to see a building of the Jedi and you'd see this new Force of Jedi and that we'd be with Jedi and Sith and all that. And I think we're going to get that in other forms of the story. So the reason I bring all that up is that's why I think that I then would say I don't need that type of stuff in an Andor series the same way I didn't really need it in Rogue One. Yeah, we saw Vader, and Vader popped in and because he was around during that time. I thought that Vader was used in the same way that Luke was used in Mandalorian, where some people are like, oh, you just needed Vader. Ah, they couldn't rely on that story without having Vader in it. They couldn't rely on that story without Luke in it. It made sense for both of them to be there. It made sense for Luke to be there because he would be that one Jedi that would be powerful enough at that time to focus on Grogu and be there. And it made sense for Vader to go, all right, wait, what's happening right now in Scarif? They're going to steal what? All right, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Of course he would do that. Why wouldn't he? Otherwise, you're going to be like, where the hell was Vader? If Vader didn't show up in that scene, he's like, oh, he was off doing other missions. He couldn't eat. The big thing that the Empire's been working on for, like, years, yeah, he couldn't bother with it. You'd be like, come on, Vader would be there. And he was there. And it also led into that episode. So if he pops in, and I think someone asked that question later, so I'll go over it again. But I think that if he pops into it, it's fine. But I think that the focus should be on the spies and the politics and the hierarchy of the Empire and all that. I think it'd be great if Ben Mendelsohn shows up. I hope he does. Tarkin should be in there, which he probably will. So I'm with you though, man. I'm very much looking forward to Andor. I think it's I think that it lands at a perfect time. When you look at Obi-Wan is going to hit in May, the end of May. And then we have a little bit of break. And I think then you get Bad Batch. And then you get Andor. And it's like, okay, so even for people at that point, let's say you just subscribe because of Obi-Wan. You're like, oh, I got another Star Wars series. I might as well watch it. You probably wouldn't go out if it was a movie. You may not. Who knows? But if it is, you go, okay, I'll watch it because I know I got Mandalorian about a month or two after this thing wraps, and I'll check it out. And if it's great, That's, and I think that they already are doing two series, but from what I've heard, it's just they've shot the whole thing, but they're doing like an Ozark thing for it. They're releasing it in two seasons, which is fine by me. If it's 2 6-episode seasons, great. That also means that we're probably going to get that. That's yet another series that we're going to get in 2023. So I'm so curious and excited about the announcements that are going to come out at Celebration soon, because so much speculation and potential in general that we can get. So great question. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. That's a really good question. All right, next question. Kenny Romanuk. What director would you like to see have direct their own series, movie, or saga? This is going to be too much of an easy answer, I think. Bryce Dallas Howard. I want to see her do a Bo-Katan series. I want to see her. There's a lot I'd like to see her do. She's already doing episodes, but give her a whole series. They gave Deborah Chow a whole series. And Deborah Chow is going to be amazing. And that's what I hope that they do. I hope that they start giving more full series to people. Although, I will say, and I like Robert Rodriguez a lot. I really do. And I thought that his Boba Fett episode inside of The Mandalorian was fantastic. And I think that it's unfair. It's funny because I'm about to criticize his stuff in Boba Fett. But I think it's unfair that everybody just is now criticizing. They forget. It's like, what have you done for me lately? Because that Boba Fett episode, when he reintroduced Boba Fett, was great. And he shot on real locations. It was great. The difference to me, if you compare the Mandalorian episode as opposed to what he did in Boba Fett, Mandalorian episode felt like a Star Wars episode directed by Robert Rodriguez. Boba Fett felt like Robert Rodriguez's Star Wars. And for some people it might have worked. It didn't necessarily work for me. Because his episodes, I felt, and there were other episodes that weren't great, but his episodes were a little bit more Fifth Element-y, and I know he didn't direct that, but I'm just saying it felt Fifth Element-y or Alita Battle Angel and things of that nature. So when it comes to people who I want to direct the series itself, I don't know if I would have had Robert Rodriguez do a full, would want to see Rodriguez do a full season, because I didn't love a lot of his episodes. But the flip side of that is he produced the other ones too, so who knows. But I think as far as directing goes, I really love what Bryce Dallas Howard has done thus far, and I would love to see her get 6 to 12 episodes of a series that she'd want to do. So I think Bryce Dallas Howard right now is someone I'd want to, as far as, I was always curious on what Matthew Vaughn would do with Star Wars. But he just seems so caught up in the Kingsman world. I wish he'd get out of that world. I know some people really, I love, and it's so weird to hear me say that because I couldn't shut up about the first Kingsman. Really didn't like the second one. And the third one was just two movies in one. There's a lot of great stuff in that movie. And this is just two movies in one. I just don't know why he keeps playing in that world. He must love it. It's probably the answer to it. I would love to see him play in Star Wars. He was supposed to direct Force Awakens or whatever episode 7 was going to be called when he was doing it. And it just didn't come to be. All right, let's move on. All right, next question here, and this comes in from Gunther Mertens. I have two questions. Have you read the series Legacy of and Fate of the Jedi? I have not. There is one of them that is a formidable and super interesting villain. Do you think Disney will use elements, characters, expectations from the non-canon books? Knowing that they only want to write original stories. Second, imagine a sci-fi movie, a crime supernatural detective story, and only in the course of the movie you'll discover it plays out in the Star Wars universe. A location that looks familiar, a red lightsaber comes out, a spaceship. Do you think Disney is ready for such an endeavor? It could connect things in a fantastic way to surprise us. I would love that way of discovery. I mean, it sounds fun. It's hard to say what they will or won't do, right? And I don't want to just say they're not going to take risks, they're not going to do that. I think they're still kind of finding their way in television about what they want to do. And I think with television, they have a little bit more of an out, because in the movies, the thing that happens with the movies is they make a good one, and if they don't have three written out, like 1, 2, 3, it's like, okay, we know we're going to do trilogy, but let's just write the first one out, see how it goes. All right, now we know we have to do a second one because it was successful. You kind of expect it in TV, where it's like, in TV, it's like, okay, well, you had season one, you're planning up what season two, when you're in the room, you're like, okay, well, this would be season one. If it's popular, season two would then be. I've been in rooms and heard people talking like this way. Season one would pretty much start like this. It would do season two. Season three would probably go this way. And then hopefully by before we get here, and then we end in five. That's how a lot of people approach a lot of these things, too. And when they're developing and the creators go through it. So I think that that's something that definitely could happen. And maybe it's something like you're suggesting. It's like, well, what if we did this? What if we started out and did an idea where you don't necessarily know what it is? But I think the marketing is the only problem. You want to market that it's Star Wars, you know, as opposed to like, here's this new show. You don't know what it is. And then lightsabers come out. They want to market with the IP. So that probably never would happen. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just assume that it wouldn't be. I haven't read Legacy and Fate of the Jedi, so I'm not sure as far as the villain itself is. And addressing the whether or not Disney will use elements of and spaceships from the non-canon books, I mean, they've done stuff like that before. They've brought stuff in, not only from the canon books, but from the non-canon books. They've brought in things that have been popular in the past. I mean, look at Thrawn. Thrawn's a perfect example of that. Thrawn was non-canon, and Thrawn was brought into Rebels, and I think that they've continued to do that, and I'm sure that there's many times over that someone like Alex Damon would be able to tell you how much they've brought in. I'm sure they brought in tons through non-canon. I mean, hell, Rey and Kylo, I think, spawned from Jason and Janna Solo. So, yeah, I do think that they definitely have and will. I'm more hoping rather than hopeful, but hoping that they will eventually, someone over there will be able to convince Kathleen Kennedy or whoever to adapt one of their books. It's right there. It is right there. And some of their canon books, it's right there. They have so, and whether it's canon or non-canon. With non-canon, I've talked about it 1,000 times over, and it was asked earlier. Darth Plagueis, the Bane books, miniseries and extension of the Old Republic, if you wanted it. Canon books, Lost Stars, Bloodline. Bloodline is a great way to maneuver into the new trilogy and show what happened. We had young Luke. Well, you can, and I know it's trickier because Mark Hamill's still with us, but if you were able to do young Leia inside of that time period, deep fake or not, or Millie Bobby Brown or somebody do it, it would really play. Bloodline's another one that could work really well. Lords of the Sith is one that could work really well. Dark Disciple is a series that could work really well. There's tons of books out there, and the writers are there. You have Christy Golden, you have Claudia Gray, James Luceno, so many, Paul S. Kemp, so many people that are there that can lend their opinions and their thoughts to this thing that I think would be so amazing and so detailed. Like when you compare Harry Potter, the movies, to Fantastic Beasts, there is no comparison. There is no comparison. You have layers of a well-thought-out, well-crafted story and flushed-out characters and emotions all in those books. They're there in those books. They're all there. Lost Stars, all of them. I mean, hell, if you want to do doing some great stuff with Obi-Wan, you want to Master and Apprentice with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, a Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan series, right? I mean, there's so many books that they have that they can make these series, and they would do very well. That's the beauty of it. You have these books that you can turn into miniseries that you don't have to continue and do, okay, we have to do five seasons of this. Do one miniseries. Stretch the book out. I just cannot wait until we get that announcement. Will we ever see it? Probably not. But I can't wait. I'm going to lose my mind the first time I hear the next series is going to be adapted from the book, blah, blah, blah. Like, even if they did the what was it called? Catalyst with Ben Mendelsohn and Mads Mikkelsen. It's like so much. There's so much out there that could work. But I don't know what it is. They just don't want to go into those books. And I don't know if it is a Kathleen Kennedy thing. I don't know if it is a collective agreement within creative. I don't know what it is. I would love. That would be the one question if I ever had an opportunity to interview Kathleen Kennedy. That I would harp on that. And again, I said it last week on the show, and I give the benefit of the doubt when it comes to when she made a comment, this is years ago, probably 3-4 years ago, when she said that they don't have source material, and it's like, clearly they do. But I also am not, I don't want to be one of those people that just say, oh, come on, you said that you clearly don't know what you're talking about. What I honestly believe that she meant, and I said this last week and I'll say it again, what I honestly believe when she was asked about, and I think the comment, probably misquoting it, but it was something along the lines of, these other properties, they have this source material that they go off of. We don't have source material that we go off of. I think what she meant was, and she might have clarified since, you guys can tell me if it was, I just remember this one quote. I think what she meant was, it originated from an idea that was not source material. It was homage to many different things from George Lucas. Or at least that's what I would tell her if I was in the PR firm, that how she should explain it. But yeah, I think that, but I do think that's what she meant, because clearly they have tons and tons and tons of source material. So I hope that they do not only pull elements, I hope they pull full stories from the non-canon and canon, but only time will tell. And that's what it is. Talking about Star Wars, let's talk about MeUndies. Now you guys, look at that. Look at that. Look at those designs already. If you listen on audio, you should come and look at it. It's a lot of Grogu. A lot of Grogu. When it comes to the best movie series to binge, it's all Star Wars, guys. It's all Star Wars. And something that was not born that long ago was MeUndies, the newest Star Wars collaboration that they have with MeUndies. And it's back with more prints featuring your favorite characters. You can get ready for your next movie marathon with the softest and comfiest Star Wars collection. Star Wars is, you know, I've been doing Star Wars shows, and I've loved it for a very long time. And I am so excited the fact that MeUndies is doing this now. Like, it's great. And I, now that everybody loves Grogu. Look at him. He fits well on the undies. He does. He got Stormtrooper butts and the Death Star. There's a lot going on. And it really works. And MeUndies loves partnering with your favorite shows and movies, and it is not the first time that they've created a collection with Star Wars, as you guys are seeing. The Force is strong with this one, and which is why they're back. New limited edition prints. They have Lightspeed and Rebel Squadron. You match your favorite person in the galaxy, or you can go solo and substantially soft undies. Socks, loungewear, dog hoodies, and more sizes, and extra small to 4XL. MeUndies has a great offer for Sith Council listeners. For any first-time purchaser, you're going to have 15% off and undies shipped right to your door. Now, this might be a little confusing, but yet it's all in the same network. You get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee. You got to go to MeUndies.com/big thing. That's MeUndies.com/big thing. Get that 15% off. And how many of you guys, by the way, have you tried MeUndies? Because you know that since you've been, if you've been following Sith Council since I came over here, started doing this stuff after doing Jedi Council, you'll know that I've been talking about it for a long time. So I'm the question I have for you guys is, have you been trying it? Did you get MeUndies? Put it in the comment section. Let me know who's actually tried and how much you've loved it. Because that's the only thing I'm going to hear is how much you loved it. I can guarantee it. I'm wearing them right now. All right. Next question. Thank you, Gunther, for that one. Dominic Chazinski. Who do you think Ray Stevenson is playing in Ahsoka? His casting is confirmed, yet he's denied the Thrawn rumors, but he totally looks the part. Could he be pulling an Andrew Garfield from No Way Home? They should bring in Juris Carbeth at some point in Star Wars live television. As a huge OG Thrawn trilogy fan, Luke should totally face off against him like he did in the Zahn Legends novel The Last Command. What are your thoughts? My thoughts are a lot of great things going on here, that what you're talking about. First of all, when it comes to Juris, I really hope that they do that. And I think that goes back to the previous comment, right, of taking things from Legends novels and then saying what they did with Thrawn. It'd be great if they did that, and it'd be great if they did... Now, they'd have to switch things up a little bit because of the way that the timeline has shifted, but what if they did an Heir to Empire, like, miniseries, or did it over the course of... You could do it over the course of 12 episodes, or you could do it over the course of 2 seasons. That'd be great to do that with Luke and to do that with George and bring in and have Thrawn be a little bit more involved, because of the way they kind of teased a little bit more with Ahsoka and Luke, that maybe that you can do that. I think they've already shown. The only thing that I hope that they do with Luke is I think that they should actually just get somebody to actually do his voice. The computer thing is going to be hard to do a full. It's already weighing on me a little bit in longer scenes. Like, it just sounds very robotic, and Mark Hamill's got such a big personality that, you know, and I know that he's calmed his emotions down a little bit since Return of the Jedi, but I don't know. I think that you can get somebody to do his voice, and I'd rather hear somebody do, like, sound more like him than to do that. I'd rather have a voiceover than to do the computer, like, you know, making up the voice. I mean, eventually that technology will sound probably incredible, and it's how scary that is. But sorry, to go back to your question overall, do I think Ray Stevenson is going to play Thrawn? I don't, because I think that there was a leak a while ago by accident from Rosario Dawson, who had confirmed, was it Lars Mikkelsen, who did the voice in Thrawn? I think he's coming back to actually play Thrawn from what the big rumor was, and I think that she had kind of mistakenly acknowledged that. And she also acknowledged Ezra. Aladdin, was it? What's his name? Oh, shoot. Let me get the... I like that kid. What's his name? I want to get his name. Hold on. Aladdin, actor, live action. Let's see. What the hell was it? Yeah, Mina Massad, who I've interviewed. I'm just terrible at names. But Mina Massad, I think she confirmed him also. I don't remember. But it just was like swept under the rug. Or it could be making that up. But I feel like that's what happened. We'll see. But no, I don't think that Ray Stevenson is playing him. I think Ray Stevenson is probably be playing someone else. However, if he was playing Thrawn, would I hate it? No. You're 100% right. He'd be fantastic as Thrawn. He'd be fantastic as Thrawn. I just don't know if they would they already cast Katie Sackhoff, who voiced Bo-Katan. They very well could cast Lars Mikkelsen. He knows the character pretty well. So I think it could be Lars. Vegas odds, I'm going Lars with Stevenson playing somebody else. But I'm excited for that series, though. I'll tell you that. Kirsten Grant. Why did Rey not disappear when she dies and Kylo brought her back to life? Your thoughts on this, and why did Vader and Kylo get to be Force ghosts? They killed a lot of people. They do one good thing, and the Force forgives. Always wondered. Love your show since Thursday night shows. Thank you, Kirsten. I appreciate that. The honest answer is because they make the rules up as they go. I mean, I have a full show dedicated to Star Wars, but they make the rules up as they go. However, they probably explained it in some novel or comic book, and then you go, oh, okay. I don't know why Vader was allowed to do that, and because a lot of stuff kind of contradicts a little bit too, where in Revenge of the Sith, they say how Qui-Gon figured out how to do it, and then from what you figured in Clone Wars, the series, it wasn't easy. It took a lot of work, and Yoda had to figure out how to do it. Anakin just figured it out. I get it. He's Anakin. He's the chosen one, but he just reappeared. Hey, look, I'm a Force ghost now. And I don't know why Rey didn't disappear. Remember, this is the same movie that Palpatine somehow is alive again. Palpatine has somehow returned, was the line. It's not the best written movie. So I don't know. For those types of things, they just kind of let it slide. Like, you know, he's a Force ghost. She's a Force ghost. She didn't disappear. He did. I don't think about it too much, because I don't think there's a lot of detail put into it, to be honest with you. I know sometimes we don't always really want to hear that, but I think that's the brass tact. All right, next question. Thank you for your comment, Kirsten. Thomas Roy. Even though I'm happy we're getting two episodes of Obi-Wan on May 27th, which means we'll be getting three episodes within a 5-day period, the phrase "I have a bad feeling about this" comes to mind. Why do you say that? Something seems off. With Star Wars Celebration being that exact same weekday and reducing the amount of weeks the show's episodes will be airing, I'm confident the show will deliver and be great. I'm not trying to have too much expectation set in, but can you tell me if I'm wrong looking into this? Do you find any of this potentially concerning? No, I don't find it concerning at all. I think that they want to debut it, and they want to get the... I mean, it is... I understand... I mean, I did think that going in on a Wednesday and having... You air that episode on Wednesday... And then Thursday Celebration starts, and everybody's talking about Obi-Wan, and then you have the panel, and then you could show episode 2 to some people. Yeah, but I mean the other thing is you could probably also I don't know when the Obi-Wan panel is or even if they've even announced it. I think it would behoove them to have the panel on Saturday for Celebration. Unless, you know, because you want people to watch it. You want people, because people are going to be there. They're going to want to watch it in their hotel rooms. They're going to want to watch it. They're going to be talking about it and buzzing about it. So, no, I don't find anything concerning about it. I think that it's also the matter of they have so much with Marvel and everything else that they got going on. No, I don't. I think there's too much hype around it right now. I think that they wouldn't have released it in May around this time anyway if they had thoughts and concerns about it. They wouldn't have announced nobody knew when this thing was coming out until like a month ago. Nobody had any idea. I remember being on this show talking about what we thought was coming. I did think it was coming first, but I would have the conversations with Mike, and Mike thought Andor was coming first. There was no definitive answer. If they looked at what they had shot and said, this is not good. We're going to be in trouble here. They're not announcing that in May. They're going to move Andor up or we're not announcing a series. We'll announce a series at Celebration. We'll announce Andor first at the same time it's coming out now, and then we'll say Obi-Wan at the end of the year, maybe bury it, put it, and then have Mandalorian come and wash the taste out, you know? And it's almost, and I don't think that, I don't dislike Boba Fett the way a lot of people do. I think it had problems, but I don't dislike it. But I do think that it was there, and then Obi-Wan came out, and that's probably why, one of the reasons why everyone thought that trailer was coming out, and I think it was a smart move for them not to release that trailer, because it would have just overran Boba Fett. It would just overran it, and everybody would be talking about, all right, get the show out of here, we want Obi-Wan. Because once that show was over and the Obi-Wan trailer came out, that's what everybody's talking about. And everybody was just talking about Din and Luke anyway in that series. Nobody was talking about anything Boba Fett was doing in that series. So if Obi-Wan wasn't a good series, they could have just done that, buried it. I think they're pretty confident. It's probably another reason why they want to release two. Because maybe there's enough of a thing. Maybe Vader's not into. Maybe they want to release one with Vader to get people really hyped up. I mean, look, for Moon Knight, they sent the press four episodes, and they usually just send you one or two. They sent four, so they wanted to, and I think, I don't necessarily know if you needed four. I know WandaVision, by the way, they sent two, and I think it was very helpful that they sent two. And I think the same thing for a lot of their shows they send, but I think by releasing them the same day, two, I think you're basically releasing a movie. So no, I wouldn't have a bad feeling about it. I would have a really good feeling about it. I'm very excited for that series. Okay, next question here. Let's see. Thank you for your question, by the way, Thomas. Appreciate you. Samuel Dalton. What is the one thing you would change about your favorite Star Wars movie, and why would that change or make it a better movie? I mean, it's Empire Strikes Back. I hate saying this because I don't really answer your question, but I think Empire Strikes Back is a perfect movie. I think it's a perfect movie. I think that the only thing that I would do, maybe Star Wars then, because that's my second favorite Star Wars movie, A New Hope, I would try to change the, although I know people like the idea that Vader got slower down the line, but there's that scene that was re-edited and done by some, I can't remember the YouTuber's name that did it, of Vader and Obi-Wan fighting. And I think it works really well. I would want to change that. I'd want to change that fight, because I think that if you were able to do that back then and do that kind of fight scene in 1977, obviously people would have lost their minds. And people already lost their minds in 77 with this movie, but imagine you had that also. So I kind of cheated, because I don't think there's really much. Everything I look at there's not one scene that I don't look forward to in Empire Strikes Back. As I replay the movie in my head, I've seen it so many times, but like, I just, there's nothing I would change. No, there's really not. There's things I would change in Jedi, still when that Boba Fett scream as he goes into the Sarlacc pit. Get that out of there. I would have kept the Wookiees in Kashyyyk as opposed to, I think that it is more realistic to me and believable that the Wookiees could overrun the Empire than the Ewoks. You know, that's not what you asked. You asked one movie, but that's, I don't know how what I would do for Empire. I wouldn't change much, if anything. Sorry. Thomas Roy, when describing the movie A New Hope, how do you typically state the film's title? For example, do you say Episode 4, A New Hope, the first one, or the original Star Wars film, or just flat out say Star Wars, since it was technically the original name? Just curious. I think it just depends. Sometimes I'll say A New Hope, which I think I just did before. Sometimes I say Star Wars, which I think I just said before. Sometimes I say Episode 4. But a lot of times I think that I probably lean with A New Hope. I think rarely do I just say Star Wars. If I say I was watching Star Wars the other day, they'd be like, which one? So I think I'm usually going to most likely go New Hope. And then sometimes do Episode 4. But that's it. How about you? What do you do? You can answer in the comments. All you guys should be answering in the comments, by the way. If you're watching on Premiere, then also comment. It helps tremendously. And this one will be actually out on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I know last week's came out on Friday, and people either missed it or didn't see. It's evergreen because it's questions, so you can go back and check them out. Graham Davies, would you like to see some kind of Clone Wars-style animated Legends movies, like Shadow of the Empire or movie TV based on the Dark Force series? I think that I kind of go back into what I said before, Graham. I'd like to see Shadows of the Empire, but I want to see them live action. I think you can do live action stuff, change some things up, and let's see what you can do. Joe Campanelli. Hey, I just finished watching Rebels. I know, late. You think we're going to see any of these in live action? Any characters from Rebels in live action? Sorry if it's a repeat question. It's not a repeat question. I think we've definitely discussed it. But, so I do think, as I mentioned to you before, I think Kallus is showing up in Andor. I think you can pretty much take that to the bank. We know Sabine is showing up from Rebels in Ahsoka. It's not confirmed, but I think their whole mission is to go for Ezra. Thrawn is also, even though I always I associate Thrawn more so with the novels, but I know a lot of people, the first time they ever met him was in Rebels, so Thrawn. I think Zeb will show up. I think Zeb will show up in the Ahsoka series. I think Ahsoka is essentially, that series is essentially going to be, was it 4 seasons of Rebels? If it was 4 seasons, it'll be season 5. I can't remember how many seasons it was. I thought it was 4, but if it was 4 seasons, then this will be season 5. So I think from what Dave Filoni had said, or at least hinted, he didn't confirm it, but he'll probably confirm it when Ahsoka comes out, that the thing that when we first meet Ahsoka in Mandalorian, that happens right before the prologue in Rebels, right? Because in the prologue in Rebels, she goes and she goes with Sabine. They go, let's find Thrawn. I think that this is before that. She finds out from where Thrawn is, and now the whole adventure is going to be getting Thrawn, you know? And I think that even the Luke stuff happens prior. And he says, are we going to meet again? And then I think if they set up this Outer Regions thing, because the Outer Regions, for those people who don't know, it's like it's not associated with the Outer Rim. It's the unknown regions, excuse me. I think that's what it is. Whatever. I think it's the unknown regions. But either way, wherever the hell Thrawn is from, he and Ezra are kind of lost out in the middle of like nowhere. And like it is not associated with the rebellion and the Empire and any of that stuff. It's just so far out there. If they establish that well, you have so many ways you can retcon stuff. So many ways and so many stories you can put inside of there. That's where some Jedi went to, and that's where some Jedi live, and that's why you never hear from them. That's why they were gone. There's a, you know, the reason why, you know, if Grogu and Din wind up heading out to help Ahsoka, and that's why you don't see them in the new trilogy, and that's why he's been gone for Grogu's been gone forever, and he's living, and he's talking, and he's doing everything that he needs to do out in the unknown regions. If you set up the unknown regions well enough, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's where they all can go, and that's where Quinlan Vos can be, and I think someone asked me about it. Quinlan Vos can be, like, all these different places that people can be, and it's like, oh, well, that's why, because there's no... I think that's what ultimately happened in Timothy Zahn's original series, is that when all this stuff was going down in Jedi, I think that he was off... he might not have been in the Unknown Regions. Thrawn was off fighting another battle for the Empire, and that's why by the time he got back, he was in charge, which I thought was, oh, man, it would have been very interesting if they would have went that route. And I think it's before, obviously, the deep fake wasn't to the place that it was, and you had to have Mark Hamill be the age that he is, but whatevs. Whatevs. All right. Look, another thing I want to tell you guys about, and this, and I know you've heard me talk about Athletic Greens. I know you have. How many, who signed up? And if you didn't, you're going to be kicking yourselves in the butt, especially if you watch SCN Live, because I know Brett can't shut up about it. So good. It is so good, and I'm loving it. And I have, hold on, watch this. It is amazing for you guys. I'm telling you right now. So Athletic Greens, which I am obsessed with at the moment, I'm using it all the time. And I started taking it, as I was telling you before, I didn't have a lot of time. I wanted better gut health, more energy. I wanted an optimized immune system. I hated taking pills, vitamins. I wanted a supplement to actually taste great. And I wanted to see what the hype was all about. So I've been doing it for a bit now. I love it. And it doesn't taste like it's super healthy. It actually tastes like it's mild tropical taste. And I look forward to it. It's yummy. So if you want to know what it is, it's one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, and you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamin minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics to help you start your day right. Special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recover focus and aging. It's all the things. So I wasn't a big vitamin person, and it's like I get to take all these different vitamins. This is like one shot, and it is. It's got that kind of fruity taste, and I've told all my friends and family about it. It costs you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance. It's great. If you check out Athletic Greens, people talking about it. Like I had Chris Van Vliet in here. He was raving about it. Coy loves it. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes. And right now, it's just time. It is just time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's all you got to do. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you, listen to this, free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/bigthing. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/bigthing. Take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I have the link in the description of this stuff, and you guys are going to thank me. And I hope you guys are paying attention when I'm telling you guys about this stuff, because here it is. I only put stuff on this show that I really love and I've been using and enjoying. And I always, for the first thing that I do every single time when they ask, like, hey, are you interested in this sponsor? And I said, let me try a sample. Let me try this too, because I don't want to tell you guys about something that I don't dig it. I dig this stuff and you guys should be trying it. It's in the links in the description. Just try it. Because the other thing that I really would love to do is when you try it, I'll take screenshots, like when you put it in the comment section, and I send it to them. And then they'll talk about it this show more, but then also, hopefully I can get more deals for you guys. But this is a pretty good deal. It's really good, and I hope you guys like it. All right, let's get back to the questions. Questions. All right, so as I mentioned, yeah, Callus and all everybody else, I think we're going to see a lot. I think that's also the reason why Filoni's doing so much television. He's going to bring a lot of his characters into the fold. Jason Nelson, in regards to you always mentioning the line from Return of the Jedi, Obi-Wan once thought as you did. I thought it would be interesting to get your take on the line from A New Hope. You should not have come back. Not much of a question, but I'm dying to know your thoughts on this. Will we get an answer to this in the Obi-Wan show? Does Vader best Obi-Wan and let him go into a moment of weakness? You should not have come back. Makes me feel like Vader told him to stay away after defeating him. Possibility? Yes, it's a possibility. So all I'll say is this, because I did, I went down this rabbit hole. There's apparently some leaked footage of the conflict between Vader and Obi-Wan. It's so brief, but I looked at it, and it's very brief. I'm not going to explain or spoil what's in it, so don't worry. You don't have to run away from it. But in watching it, I think it's maybe 12 seconds, whatever. But I had a lot of thoughts about what could happen in this moment. How many times do they actually meet up? Is this the one time? Is it like a Luke situation where he sees him, realizes he has to go after him? I don't know. But that question, you should not have come back. I think it will tie into this. The Obi-Wan once thought as you did is the one that sells me in this whole entire series because of what Padme also says to him. There's still good in him, and that's why he, because he thinks that he's dead at that point, and then he realizes that he's not. He probably wakes up from being in this funk that he's in, and he goes into it. The one that I want to know how they're going to explain it, which the one that they're not going to explain is your father wanted you to have this when you're old enough. That I don't know how they're going to explain that at all. Unless he says, like, hey, you know, one day when I have kids, I hope they have my lightsaber. I don't know how they're going to do that. But the line that I'm curious about is when he says to him, when I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master. So when he... That one you can probably get away with when people, because people would always argue with me when I said that, oh, that Vader needed to be in the series, and people would always be like, nah, he doesn't need to be. It would take away from, I was like, it doesn't take away from it. From you look at what happened with Jedi. But they would always argue with those lines. And the line that, and what they would say is that he was talking about after they met at Revenge of the Sith. And I was like, nah, not really. The one, though, that line, when I left you, I was but the learner. You could say when he left, when he decided he didn't need his teaching anymore, but they're going to have another encounter. So why wouldn't you say that to him then? Maybe he understands. I would assume, I don't know if he, because at this point, Obi-Wan's going to be pretty, well, I mean, you know, he might be pretty weak still because he's kind of shutting himself down from the Force and trying to be away from it all. So maybe by the time they link back up, he's not that powerful and realizes he's got to turn it back on, because by the time he fights Maul, it's one of my favorite battles in all of Star Wars. I remember people being pissed off about that scene, that it wasn't this epic fight between Obi-Wan and Maul. And what I always look at it, when they fought in Phantom Menace, it was like two prime boxers at the start of their career that were really, really good, and they had amazing skills, throwing jabs and uppercuts and everything, and they just were like having a scrap, battle for battle, and then the one up and coming kind of superstar just bested the other superstar by that much. And then that guy who won the fight just started to get better and better and better and better, and his skills progressed so much. By the time they fought again, the guy just knocked them out in like 15 seconds. And that's the way that I looked at this, because by the time they fight the second time, Obi-Wan is in a much different place. This guy's still fighting the same way he did in Phantom Menace with rage and everything too, and Obi-Wan's like, nah, you're out. And I don't know if he's there yet by the time he's fighting Vader in this one. Maybe that leads to it. I'm very hyped to see it, though. I will tell you this. I'm not going to spoil the details of what we're in that scene. I will say that if it is legit, it looks awesome. All right. What's that? Come on. Thomas Roy. Do you think Christopher Nolan would ever consider doing a Star Wars movie? Have you ever heard rumor rumblings of this being a possibility? His name's always thrown around out there. I think that he was asked about it. Do I ever think he'd consider it? I mean, he did Batman. I'm sure he'd consider it. Why not? I'd love to see him do it. It'd be great. Oh, it's a lot of Thomas Roy stuff. I pulled a lot of your stuff, Thomas. Big fan of yours for a long time. Thank you. Just wanted to start off by saying congrats on your channel. Thank you. My Star Wars question is this. In your opinion, do you think the Star Wars franchise is still revered as the greatest movie franchise in pop culture history? Or have the prequels or the Disney era of Star Wars reduced its impact on the site? No, I don't think that it's... Well, wait. I don't think that it's... its content has been reduced. Yes, I do still think that it is the greatest movie franchise in pop culture history, if that's the question. Is it still the champ right now? No, Marvel is. There's no doubting that. Marvel is the champion right now. Star Wars is the GOAT. And how, if you say, well, but these other things, nobody's going to do what 1977 A New Hope did. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody can take that away from it. It doesn't matter how many more movies, the successful movies Marvel has. It doesn't matter how many movies DC has. It doesn't matter how many more movies come out. Nobody is going to do culturally what Star Wars did and change the movie business. There's nothing that's ever going to take that away. So that particular, as far as history goes, yes, it is the number one. It's the one that you hear people all the time talk about. Filmmakers say, like, it's what got me into film. It's what got me into this. And speaking of prequels, as you mentioned, prequels right now for the generation that were born in the early 90s, to them, that is their Star Wars, and it got them into film, and it got them into movies. So the prequels got a lot of people. Like, it, the Disney era right now is in the same spot that the prequels were in from, like, 2005 until, like, 2015. At that point, there were a lot of people who loved them. But there are a lot of people, including myself, who are like, eh, is that all we got from Star Wars? Is it compared to the original trilogy? It's like, eh. And then, as I've mentioned many times over, and Ken Knapsack used to tell me this all the time, because he, when you go back, although you can't go back now, but when you when we did the Schmoes Know, I think it was episode 3 that we ever did of the show, myself and Ken and Ellis did a show when it was just podcast form for Schmoes, and we did prequel stuff, and all three of us were just lobbing, like, missiles at that thing. And Ken has had since, I think, hooking up with Force Center and doing stuff with Joseph Scrimshaw, who's like a massive prequel lover, started to change his tune a little bit and started to appreciate it more and look at it differently. He's like, I don't know, I got a different appreciation for it. You look at it. And I remember I'm looking at the spot that I was with my daughter when she was watching Phantom Menace, and I looked at her eyes when she was watching the movie, and I went, oh, get it. And I and then we did our rewatch recently, and I just really enjoy those movies a lot more than I did. But it goes to the point that there's something that people have with Star Wars that it's never going to lose its thing. It's not the top dog right now. It's definitely not the top dog right now, especially when it comes to, because films, as much as I think that films for Star Wars TV needs to be the thing, films sets you apart and gives you the clout. And Marvel's films are far superior than the Star Wars films right now. There's no arguing that. The DC films are far superior than the Star Wars films right now. Far superior. And I think that the TV, though, is where they're starting to get their edge a little bit more and start to do a little bit more. But no, it's no one's taking away what they accomplished. No chance. Okay. Next one. Paolo Zaffiro, what is the most geeky thing you've ever done related to your Star Wars fandom? I made a Star Wars show. Did a Star Wars show. Did one for years, still doing it. That's probably it. Jack Fryer, do you think episode 10 is inevitable? And if so, when will it drop? Inevitable? I don't know about inevitable. I still think that if you're going to do, I mean, listen, we talked about this in there. I saw in the comment section last week, and I don't disagree with a lot of people, that they're just so hesitant about getting on board with announcements about films and everything, too. Some people don't think that a new movie's coming out for 10 years. I think that's that there's no chance that we don't get another movie. If I'm to guess with the movies, I'm going to say that the movie, I said this last week, we're going to get an announcement for at least one movie. There's a guy who commented, and if you're watching again, I will find that we should do an actual bet, because you're out of your mind if you don't think they're going to announce one movie. They're definitely, now whether or not that movie comes to fruition is another story. But announcing a movie, you're out of your mind if you don't think they're announcing at least one. But they're going to announce one, and I think for that date, you're going to get there's an offshoot chance that they're filming Taika Waititi's movie already, in secret, and then they're going to announce it for 2024. It's an offshoot chance, but I think that it's probably a better chance they announce it for 2025, which gives you about 3 years before it comes out, right? Then there'll be another movie inside of that period, whatever the hell they announce, whatever. Rise of Skywalker will be 10 years old in 2029. I think that if they're going to do episode 10, Daisy Ridley will be what? She'll be like 33. How old is she now? How old is Daisy Ridley? Let's see how old she is. Because I think that if you did a movie with Daisy Ridley, and Daisy Ridley right now she's 29 right now. Okay, she's 29 right now. So if Daisy Ridley, if you made a movie in, let's say, 2000 and, holy crap, even saying this sounds like so Blade Runner-y, but 2032 is the next time you did episode 10. Should be 39, almost 40 years old. That's when you should do episode 10. And yes, she should be in it, because if it's you know, 13 years removed, people will want to see it Absence makes the heart grow fonder, as you guys know. And a lot, and I don't think a lot of people really have much of a beef with Daisy Ridley as Rey. It's more so kind of where her story went. But I think the same, look at Ewan McGregor. When it comes to the stuff that he did in Obi-Wan, nobody could argue that he wasn't the best part of the whole damn prequels. And now he gets a shot to have his own series. So I think if it happens, I don't think it's inevitable, but I think if it happens, you wait 10 to 15 years and you put Daisy Ridley in episode 10 and let her start her own Jedi Academy. Who knows? All right. How many more we got? Well, we got four left, so we'll finish them. Russell Witheman. We know we're getting Vader and Obi-Wan. Do you think we could see him in Andor? And if so, do you think it would be overkill to use him again so soon? I think if you're going to use anybody for that, use Emperor. Use the Emperor and use Tarkin. You don't need Vader in that one. I think Emperor and Tarkin would be good because I think, I don't think you need, because it is so close. But look, he was on set. No one's going to, I think that you wouldn't, the difference is this. In, you'd have more of an excuse to use him more in Obi-Wan because he's closely connected to the story. This is like a direct sequel to Revenge of the Sith. And he is very tied into the emotional journey of Obi-Wan. And they're connected. So you'd have to combine him into the story and the backstory. In Andor, if he shows up, he just needs to be this force of fear, this force of chaos. That's really all he needs to be. He just needs to be like, he comes in, what they do in the book, Alexander Freed had a book called The Battlefield, and Vader is, he's in the scene in Empire. It's like you see him, but before he comes in and he's about to get, you know, when he walks into the base and he sees Han and everything, well, there's a thing that happens beforehand. He wipes out a whole bunch of rebels. And it's very similar to what happens in Rogue One, and I always wonder if they kind of took a little bit from that. But that's something, if he does, and I think that it might be repetitive if you just see him kind of wrecking shop. I'd be okay not having Vader in it at all. But I'm just saying because he's around and he's there, and he's shooting Ahsoka and he's shooting this, that if you wanted to use him, you could. But you don't need him. I think for that series, Palpatine would be great. Again, you don't need him. I think Tarkin's the one that either Tarkin or Krennic, you should absolutely use. But no, I don't even over, it's not an overkill if you just use him in that kind of devastating, fearful way that he would be there. Jimito Rivera, why Lucasfilm doesn't go ahead with an Old Republic series or films? Ego, pride, is it because the story is not theirs? I don't think it's ego or pride. I think it's a matter of I mean, the story is theirs. I mean, they own it. So whether or not someone else came up with it or not, it's their IP. They own it, so it's theirs. It's a matter of fear, I think. It's a matter of fear. Not fear, not a... I don't want to use that. It's a matter of, you know, taking the risk and saying, okay, is it just our hardcore fan base that really cares about this? Because this is the risk that they're taking with High Republic. And I think that that's where they're going with it first. They're going with High Republic to establish this. And that's why they went so heavy with the books and everything that they're doing. And they're establishing kind of the lead into Phantom Menace with establishing these stories that are happening. So I think that they're going with High Republic first. They might not ever go to Old Republic. I don't know. And maybe to them, High Republic is their Old Republic, and that's where they're going to play. Because from what I heard, the Benioff and Weiss stuff was supposed to be like the formation of how the first Jedi and Sith came to be. But that never happened. So I don't know what it is. I think that it's a matter of, you know, they want to make sure that they can make things work if you don't have a Skywalker in them, if you don't have people that you know. Like even Mandalorian, which I still, as I mentioned in this show, I understand why they use Luke, but they had Luke. Boba Fett had Luke. Everything has had people in it that we know. Rogue One had Vader. You know, Solo had Solo. Yeah. All right. Two more. Do you think we'll see, this is from Tyler Hyde, do you think we'll see more Force connection for Obi-Wan? He gets closer and more deeper to the Force, which could lead to Force projections of possibly Qui-Gon. I think so. if I was to guess from what I've seen in the trailer and what I've been talking about in general, is that I think it makes sense that he looks like he's trying to shut himself off completely, not in the way that like Luke did, but in a way that like he's trying to stay quiet and stay. He is conceded defeat, and he knows that they have lost, and he is just out on his luck. But he also has stuck true to his word as a soldier and as a friend that he was going to watch over the kid, and that's what he's doing. But I think he gets woken up.
There's an awakening. Have you felt it?
I think he's going to feel it. And I think that, I can't remember where it was. Someone told me this. I guess in one of the books, they say that it's been around 10, it was 10 years after Sith where Obi-Wan connected to Qui-Gon. So maybe we do see it in the series. I hope so. I mean, that would be a big moment for sure. I think that was, we got one more left. One more. Keith Kempenick. What can Star Wars do to get away from the Skywalker saga? I think we talked about it. Everything right now connects in some way to that. So where do you think stories should go to explore new territory? I'd love to see a film about a family on some backwater planet just struggling to survive in the Galactic Civil War under the oppression of the Empire. I want these personal stories about relatable people too, as well as the superheroes of the galaxy. All right, so there's a lot there. The first thing that you can do is, I think that Lost Stars kind of connects to, I mean, Leia does pop up in a scene. Doesn't mean to put her in, but it's really not about her. It's about these two kids growing up that have to find their way through, and one becomes part of the rebellion, one becomes part of the Empire, which would be interesting. But I think that the bigger way to get away from it, as we just mentioned, was the High Republic and the New Republic. High Republic and Old Republic. It's years upon years upon years prior. So there you go. I think that's your answer. That's what I hope that they do. And I think that, I think Celebration tells us a lot. I think Celebration is going to tell us a lot, because I do think that, and some people don't think that Celebration, there's going to be a lot of announcements because they want to save it for the shareholders. Remember, they didn't know when that shareholders thing happened. It was in the middle of when all this crap went down, and Celebration was, I think, going to be canceled, or they thought it was going to cancel. They didn't know what was going to happen with it. So that shareholders meeting became a big event overall. And I think that because of Celebration now, I think that they learned from their mistakes, because in 2015, Celebration was great. Celebration had, as far as what I will tell you, as far as going and being entertained, and I said it last week, it's the best convention to go to if you're a Star Wars fan. Doesn't matter what the announcements are. Just going in general. It's if you're going, you're going to have fun. But once they bought, and this is before, even predating when Lucasfilm was bought by Disney, Celebration was just the place to go if you're a Star Wars fan. Once Disney bought them, and once they became this, and once they started putting out new material, then it became a Comic-Con, the same way the Comic-Con, when you knew that there was going to be big news stories and things. And they had to get used to that. Because in 2015, they debuted the Force Awakens trailer. Everybody lost their minds. They did Rebel stuff. Everybody lost their minds. They showed Rogue One thing. Everybody lost their minds. Like, oh, great. What's happened in 2016? And they were not prepared. London was a disaster. Like, I think Thrawn was the only thing that they announced. And it was Rebels was the only thing that stole the thing. They barely had any Rogue One footage. The stuff they showed from Rogue One, they didn't even released to the public. It wasn't even stuff from the actual movie. They said, oh, we got to show something. And then they didn't know what to do. 2018 is the... Oh, wait. Is that right? Was it 2016? When the hell was it? Was it 2015 was Force Awakens. And yeah, then they did London. Did they do London a year later? Maybe that's true, right? And then 2017. Yeah, then they took 2018 off. And then 2019. So Orlando had a lot of stuff. Orlando had a ton of stuff, and they went and said, okay, let's restructure. Orlando was fantastic, all the stuff that they had. And then 2019, same thing. You know, they showed a lot of stuff. They had Mandalorian stuff, all of it. So they know what's expected of it now. They know that they need to make announcements, that they need to show footage. They especially now with the fact how much time, and they have more stuff to show now. I think they're going to get a lot of announcements. You're going to get a lot of announcements for television stuff. Like I said, If you go back, when they announced in 2020, they announced stuff 3 years out. You know, Acolyte, I mean, even if when they talked about, Rangers of the, was it Rangers of the New Republic? Is that what it was called? The one that they were going to do, that was supposed to come out in like 2024. So, and the Lando one, the Lando was another one, was 2024, 2025. So they announced enough titles about 5 years out. So if you take that same philosophy that they're going to do that again, you could get the slate for what's going to happen in 2024, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026, and maybe something in 2027. And then more stuff will be filled in throughout that. But I think you can get more announcements. I think you can get more stuff, and we'll find out. But anyway, I hope you liked the show. It was a longer show. I said it was going to be short. I lied. Probably means that there's probably not going to be a lot of big thing episodes this week, but we'll see, because I don't have much time to do any of these. But I wanted to get this one done because Sith took a hit last week, dude. I didn't put it up in time, so it will be up in time for you guys if you're watching on Wednesday. All right, anyway, thank you guys so much. Please leave your comments. Do all that. And if you haven't already subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the notification button. Do all that. I appreciate you guys very much. We'll see you on the flip side. Peace.